We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJIHybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Harris Reese. He is a 2-times national award-winning entrepreneur, 2-time national best-selling author, keynote speaker, and a digital marketer. He previously co-founded a media company which helped authors, speakers, and coaches build their brands online. He took the company to a 6-figure business in 10 months. He was also previously a growth hacker at VaynerMedia, building Gary Vaynerchuk's personal brand. He's built SyncSumo, a SaaS solution with customers in 30 countries, and now runs a consultancy which has generated millions of dollars for clients, a social media agency, and has a handful of personal clients. Harris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori.
Thank you for being here. You've got quite the background. I'm sure lots of value to add to our listeners.
Yeah, that was kind of a mouthful.
It sure was. It was exciting to read, though.
Yes, so, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, so I've got a couple quick questions to get started here, specifically around kind of you and your background and some mindset thinkings. So I know health is really important in mm-hmm. to you. Why does health matter in business and making time for yourself in your business activities?
Yeah, of course. So health is really important because I realized I was surrounded by a bunch of extremely wealthy people, and they always had high levels of energy. Working with Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, you see him on camera, he's all over the place. In person, it's the same, except you can feel his energy more. Mm-hmm. Amplified, right? So when I got to spend time around him and I realized, okay, and he told me the importance of how his life has changed when he's gotten healthy. Plus he said, you're better looking the more healthy you are. Mm-hmm. So I got this way earlier. So I was like, okay. And I kind of let myself go a long time ago. There's a lot of bad things that happened in my life. I, you know, typical entrepreneur story, went into depression and all that stuff. And then I lost 75 pounds in about 12 weeks. And wow. I've never been better. Business has been better. You think clearer, you have more energy. The people with the most energy throughout the day win.
There's a lot of truth to that. Absolutely. And I agree. I mean, you think clear. There's definitely something to be said about that, which you think, you know, I'm too tired to get up and go work out. But when you do it, you actually have more energy throughout the day.
Right. And then eating, like food shouldn't boggle you down, or you shouldn't be in like a food coma. It should fuel you up. Every time you eat, you should feel more energetic and ready to get after it even more. Versus a lot of people overeat and then their day slows down. You know, they eat lunch and then it's like, oh, I got to get back into the rhythm. How do I do this? It's taking some time. Versus it should energize you. You should be full of energy. You should be ready to go.
That's something I'm personally working on right now. I've got the exercise down. It's the food that's the bigger struggle for me personally. Yeah. What advice do you have, or what was the biggest change in the food side of things that you made in your life?
Yeah, I've just tested a lot. I mean, I eat healthy, but before I could never eat like peppers. Mm-hmm. I just never liked them. But now if I warm them up or saute them, then I love them. So I figured out hacks for myself. And my sister is the complete opposite. She does not like vegetables warm. She only likes them cold. And that's the only way she'll eat it. So everybody's different. But you just have to test different things. There's so many recipes online. There's food channels if you want to do it that way. I personally hired a nutritionist about a year and a half ago when I did that crazy weight loss journey. And she just told me what to eat, and I made myself like it.
Nice. But now it's no issue, I imagine, right?
No, the food is delicious. I mean, one of my favorite things was, what is it called? It was, it's an avocado dressing, but the whole bottle only has 10 calories. It's so good. And I had it on everything. I had it on a turkey burger. It was just the best.
I need to look into that. That's my, I can't eat anything dry. And I feel like as you're making these habits, you know, changes, yeah. You're just so used to all these sauces that aren't really good for you. So any tips there are definitely helpful.
Yeah. Trader Joe's has it. Whole Foods has it. Walmart has it. Okay. If you go to like salad section. That's where it is. It's a little bit pricier, but you get what you pay for. You either worry about your health now or you'll pay for it later.
Totally. Definitely a big believer in that. All right. So you've definitely got some experience working with clients literally all over the world. How has travel helped with business in general?
Yeah, travel is huge because it lets you unplug. Because if you're always working, and you're always doing the same thing, and all of us entrepreneurs, we just look at laptops a lot. And a lot of us are solo entrepreneurs. I think the stat is like 85% of businesses are all solo entrepreneurs or virtual teams. So we're behind our laptops a lot and are either our home office or a physical office. And you don't get to escape that often. And we put business in front of our personal lives versus it should be the complete opposite. I just took the last month not off because I have teams that help me work and I still can work from my cell phone and I can work while I travel. But I've been gone for the last month, literally 30 days. That's a lie. I went to Vegas and I came back for 2 days because I had to move apartments and then I was gone again. So now I have nothing but boxes.
Fun.
I still haven't unpacked. I've been in my new home for a month and I still haven't unpacked. I just now, like, it's crazy. Everything's just kind of like a mess there just because I haven't had time to really do anything and I haven't been home. But I was there. I was in Vegas. I was home for 2 days and then I went to Cabo San Lucas and seeing different cultures, different environments. You know, I learned, not fluent obviously in Spanish, but I could carry a conversation by my time after the 14, 15 days in Cabo. I learned enough Spanish where I can speak the language enough where I can carry a conversation. Okay. And that opens your bra, you know, and then you see how they live, you see their culture, and it brings new ideas, right? I mean, I have one company I'm consulting on, and just my experience alone shed light on the type of video we need to create for our audience. Mm-hmm. And travel just opens your creativity.
Absolutely. And everyone's got a different, different strategy based on what they've observed within, you know, their bubble, basically their community, the people that influence them. And the more that you expand your reach and the experiences you have, I think the more creative you can be.
All right. And people get confused because they think traveling is so expensive. I mean, I travel very inexpensively. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Points accumulate. I mean, I pay rent. We all have to pay rent. Things you have to pay for, groceries.
Yep.
I would put all of that on my credit card and I get travel points.
Yep.
And then I can travel for free almost. I've paid for one flight this whole year and I've traveled, 35, 40 times so far? That's
fantastic. I love that. I'm definitely in that mindset of what can I put on this credit card so I can get points?
I mean, I don't do unnecessary things. Like I don't go buy Gucci belts just to have a Gucci belt.
Sure. Yeah.
I put things I have to pay for, regardless, on the credit card. Mm-hmm. That way I can travel. And you can travel inexpensively. I mean, people look at, you know, I saw this Gucci bag this morning. I went to the gas station to get I drink Bang energy drinks. They're not the best, but they're not the worst. and I drink those. So I went to get one this morning because I was kind of craving it. I've been gone forever. I haven't had one. And I saw this lady really beat up car, beat up shoes. She had holes in her shoes. Not judging a book by her cover, but she also had a Gucci backpack. Hmm. That costs as much as a flight probably does.
Sure. Yep.
And people have no problem buying $100 pair of jeans or a $500 backpack versus going after an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely leaning on the experience side more so than the tangible good side of things.
Right. Because, I mean, it only feels good for a little bit. I mean, I have a lot of friends with exotic cars and they don't really care. I mean, you drive a Ferrari for a day or two and it's just the normal then, you know? Like the first, it's like, oh, cool, I got this. And then it's like, okay, I have it. Yeah.
I save the renting the fun cars for when I'm traveling and I want to rent a car. If I'm not doing the Uber thing, then I'll rent the fun car to ride. And again, with points, though, too, obviously.
Yeah. Everything's with points.
So let's talk about mindset a little bit. How do you eliminate scarcity mindset?
Yeah, so a lot of business owners, including myself, before I used to think, you know, let's say you make 10 bucks. And then most business owners want to keep 10 bucks in their own pockets, want to use it for their own experiences or whatever, because they're scared because they don't know where the next $10 is going to come from. Mm-hmm. Versus today, when I make $10, I'll invest 8 of that to a team or a new product or lead gen or whatever. And I'll only keep 2 out of 10 because I know I can use that 8 to generate 100 and not 10 more. Mm-hmm. And people always get nervous about scarcity. And, you know, once you finally start making some money, you think, okay, now I have to hold it because I don't want to lose it. And I'm never going to lose it because I know how to generate it.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I give out good tips because I can. I give out, you know, what I can. I do basically anything I really want. Like, I went to Cabo San Lucas. I did any excursion I wanted to because I know I can generate the revenue if I wanted to. And there's no such thing. I can replace that money.
So you have a plan of attack on where you intend to reinvest those dollars and what's working, or are you just kind of jumping in and saying, we're going to make more money? And it's not that easy, obviously.
Yeah, you don't just say it and believe it and it happens. Like, you have to have strategy and tactics. I've been advertising since 2007 on Facebook. That's when Facebook ads became a thing. So I've been doing this for a while, and I've generated for one client this year millions of dollars on Facebook. So I kind of have a skill set that helps. And if you don't have that skill set, in today's world, you can hire a coach, and you know, they don't have to be the most expensive coach. You can hire their digital courses, which are less expensive. There's Facebook groups. There's a lot of things. I mean, I pay for one coach. He is the guy who helped build Taylor Swift and Rihanna's brands and MTV's. I think it's like $50 a month. That's it. Wow. And I get access to him directly. I mean, it's a group setting, but a lot of people have $50 a month that they could use, and that teaches them how to grow and scale and how to create content creatively. I mean, he helps manage a bunch of all these influencers that have huge audiences, and for $50 a month, I have access to him. So there's all these things you can do if you don't have that skill set, but I have that skill set, and I keep learning and adding to it and getting better, because in today's world, everything changes so fast. We can go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow, and everything's different. So you have to know how to adapt quickly.
There's definitely a lot of truth to that. I think that's a skill set in itself, is the quick adaption, but the constant yearning for learning. Because if you're not staying on top of it, you can't really stay ahead of, but on top of what's happening in the industry, especially, I mean, all industries are being impacted by digital. But I mean, we're really at the forefront of it from a marketing perspective. It's important to stay on top of how does this change impact what I'm doing today and the people I'm working with and all of those components.
On top of thinking of new angles, always being at the forefront of everything. It's really, really important to have that mentality to always want to keep improving.
Yeah.
How can I make this better? That's a huge skill set, especially for a lot of entrepreneurs who are starting.
Totally. All right. So the show is about networking, and my goal is really to help alleviate any fear that someone might have when they hear this big, scary word, networking. I know a lot of young professionals and even entrepreneurs, I find solopreneurs are fearful to jump into networking, even though really networking is what's going to some extent make or break your business when you're getting started. So can you share with our listeners one of your most successful or favorite networking experiences that you've had?
Yeah, well, to your point of networking, in today's world, a lot of networking parties or after parties or whatever you want to call them come with an open bar, which a little bit of liquid courage helps.
Absolutely.
I think this year, do you know who Marshall Silver is?
Yes.
So I was at an event, and he was one of the speakers there. I watched him. Fantastic. I've seen him before. He's really amazing from stage, and he's just a great guy in general. But I was at this networking thing with a friend of mine, and we were at the bar just going to get another drink. And then I saw this kid in the corner. He was just sitting there with a drink, and he was sitting there on his phone looking down. Everyone else is chatting. And I'm like, okay, he's at a networking event. His intention is to network, but he just doesn't see a way in to talk to anybody. So I was like, I'm going to go talk to him. I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, my name's Horace. You know, what's your name? He's like, Andrew. Oh, okay, cool, Andrew. We'll tell you, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm Marshall Silver's assistant. I was like, oh, cool. And then we connected really well, but I would have never known that if I didn't go up to him.
Yeah.
If you're in a networking setting, people come to talk. So if you see someone not talking, they're not doing that intentionally. If they don't want to talk, they would leave. So if you see someone on loan, go talk to them. But that was probably my favorite networking story, because I just went and casually talked to the guy, and it turns out he's Marshall Silver's assistant. And then Marshall needed, I have connections to private jet charters. and Marshall needed a flight from wherever he lives in Orange County, I think, or Vegas. I think he has two houses. But he needed one flight from there to, where was he going? Somewhere in Florida, like St. Petersburg, maybe. Regardless, he needed a new connection because his connection was on vacation or wasn't answering or gave him bad pricing. I don't know the whole story. So I was like, hey, man, let me bring some value to you guys. This is a big headache for him, for the assistant, because he has to deal with all these brokers. Everyone's pitching him, and private jet charters aren't cheap. They make a lot of commission. There's not a lot of wiggle room. You know, if a flight's 15K, it's going to be 15K. They're not going to discount you that flight. And looking for private jet charters aren't looking for discounts. They're looking to save time.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, this is a huge headache for you. Let me see if I can fix it. And then I went to my network, and I figured out who can help me in my network fix this headache for them. And that's how you win in networking. You go into situations saying, Lori, what is your biggest headache? How can I help your fix your headache with my network? And then after that, let's stay connected. And I never go in and ask for anything, because that's the wrong mentality. When I give and I think I'm going to receive something, it's horrible. And you'll never. But if you just go to give, you might give it 10 people and 9 might not give anything back, but the 10th might. And the 10th might be the introduction to that connection you've been wanting. It might be, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you never know who's in someone's network. So that one outreach can help you a lot in
business. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love the story that you took. You got the, I don't know if it was the liquid courage that made you go talk to the kid that was sitting there by himself, or just that even that you were that warming to say, this person maybe is struggling from a networking perspective and I'm going to just go help him out, make him feel a little bit more comfortable. But it turned out to be a great opportunity for you. And then I love the giving mentality. And obviously that's Gary V's big philosophy. So get some inspiration there, obviously. So as you've continued to meet all these amazing new people that you're constantly connecting with, how do you stay in front of or nurture these relationships that you're creating?
Typically, I just give a lot. You know, Gary's book, Jab, Jab, Right Hook, should be retitled to Jab, 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 Right Hook. Because typically, I just give as much as I can. And then when I give something to someone, they typically stay in front of me asking, how can I help you? What do you need? And then if I ever need anything, then I'd respond. But typically, it's just by giving a whole bunch. And I'd never want to ask for anything. But if I do, I know I can, because I've given so much. So that's one way to stay connected. Another way is I never really give business cards. I mean, I do, but I don't. I give in business cards because I don't want them following up with me. I want to follow up with them. I follow them on Facebook or Instagram or some channel. Not really LinkedIn, because people don't post things on LinkedIn that aren't like businessy. Facebook, people will post pictures of their kids and I'll say, oh my God, your kids are adorable, or new car. Hey man, that's awesome. Or if they're like, hey, I'm in San Diego, I'll tell them, okay, cool. Go to this one spot. It's the best. That's a great way of staying connected and in front of them, because on email, what are you going to do? Hey Lori, how are you? Hope things are well. You respond with, yeah, well, Horace. I respond with, oh, okay. Glad. I'm glad. You respond with, how are things for you? Well, they're okay. Thanks for asking. Okay, stay in touch.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We're in 2019, almost 2020. Crazy to think about it. We need to connect on social media. People check Facebook 18 times a day, Instagram 24 times a day. It's so much easier just to say, hey, that's an adorable image of your kids.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that have reservations about connecting professionally on some of these more personal channels. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, personally, professionally, I'm the same person. I don't put on an act. I'm Horace. I'm Horace to you. I'm Horace on the show. I'm Horace after I get off. I'm Horace no matter what I do.
Yeah.
I also don't post craziness on, you know, on any of my social media channels. I don't really, I don't get embarrassed. Everyone watches my stories. You know, I'm not, I mean, I'm just me all the time.
Sure.
And I think people put on an act sometimes in business where they're not themselves all the time. So that's where like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want them seeing that I party every Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, me, like, I like to have a good time. What's the deal if someone sees it? You know?
Well, I think there's a level of being genuine, and there's more trust that's built then within those relationships.
And it helps me so much in business. I'll tell you another story. In Cabo, one of my clients, he came down to have a speaking event, ironically, while I was there. So mm-hmm. this was better. And then I figured it'd be far away. It was literally a 2-minute walk from where I was staying. It couldn't have worked out better for me.
Yeah.
And on social media, I noticed that he wears camo pants. And I was like, okay, I know he has a kid coming in like 5 months, 6 months. What present can I get him that'll really stick? Because a newborn, everyone gets some clothes. Mm-hmm. Diapers would be funny, but also helpful. what can I get that'll really pop? And I was going through social media because we're connected on all channels. I was like, what do I get? And I noticed he wears camouflage pants. I was like, man, what if anyone's thought this through to get him camouflage pants so him and his son can match?
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. And then I got on the pants and I was like, this is going to be great. And then, you know, I had a little baggie and everything. And then I saw him backstage after the event. Hey, man, you did great. Hey, I got you a little gift for the little man. And he opens it and he's like, oh, man, do you know how much clothes I've gotten? And no one's thought of this. And I wear camo pants, I don't know, once a week.
That's awesome.
Man, I love this. And he's like, my wife, she's going to love this even more. And his mom came to the event. He flew his mom down too. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, you know, vacation. And he flew his mom down. His mom loves me now. She says, of course. All I did was, it wasn't even that expensive. It was just
sure. Good. Yeah.
And his mom's like, he loves camo. Like, loves it. This is the best gift.
That's great. I think that's a great story. And it's just a little tiny gesture that has a huge impact. Which is amazing. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
You got to get out there. Mm-hmm. There's no easy way about it. You got to go to networking events. You got to go to speaking seminars. You got to get out there somehow, some way. It helps if you live in a bigger city. Lori, where do you live right now?
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yep.
So I don't know how the entrepreneur scene is there.
Strong.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Here it's not that strong, so I really do have to travel. But if you're in like San Diego, LA, New York City, you know, Tampa is also a great scene. Milwaukee sounds like it's a great scene. But having one of those scenes where you can just go right out your door into an event, that's great. If you don't have that option, like me, you might have to fly to something. You have to pick and choose. And mm-hmm. you really have to get crystal clear on what you want and where do you want to go. Because you can pay to go to an event and speak to people, but if it's not where you want to go or that's not where you want your business to go, that doesn't help you much.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like the statement about getting clear on what you want. I think that's going to allow you to focus in on where's the best use of your time.
Right. And it's easy to build and it's easy to make money, but it's hard to be fulfilled. Because I know a lot of people that make a lot of money and they're under a bottle of vodka every night.
Yeah.
Not fun. I mean, they have hundreds of millions in the bank. What else could they buy anything they want? But they don't have a family. They don't have kids. Not saying that that's success. It is to some, but you know, they don't have anyone. They just the vodka every night. That's not fun. They can buy any car they want. They can fly anywhere. It all gets old after a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a good point. I mean, I think a lot of people look at networking from just that business standpoint, where really it's a community and a group of people that are advocating and encouraging each other to be the best people that they can be, not just someone that's going to send you referral business opportunities.
Right. I only am around people I want to be like. Mm-hmm. 'Cause one, my thing is honesty. I like honesty because trust in business is huge. So if you're honest, I can tell you're genuinely honest. I want to be around you. If you're a good person, that's good to people. I want to be around you. If you kind of flaunt money and you have all the ice on your necklace and you know, watch and you just flaunt and arrogant, I don't want to be around you. Mm-hmm. I want people who will tell me when I'm not doing good and I'm slacking, they'll tell me in my face, hey, Harris, you need to do better. Mm-hmm. Cause that's also important because you need people that'll keep you at the top of your game.
Totally. Presenting your best self as much as possible. Absolutely.
They'll tell you.
Good insights. Yeah. Those are your real friends, actually. And regardless if it's professional or in that personal space, I think those that are willing to tell you what needs to be said instead of saying what they think you want to hear.
Right.
Nice. So This is an interesting question that I think I always get different insights on, but digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Ooh, good question. There's definitely different. There's ways you can make digital work. It does take a little bit, takes a different kind of approach because people, marketers especially, ruin everything for us.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of people that spam. I mean, we got connected on LinkedIn and it was sort of a genuine message. It was an automation that most people don't know. But, you know, after the first automation, it's actually me connecting. You know, I send an automation, someone responds to an automation, and then I respond manually. But the first one is, hey, you know, I see that you have a podcast show. I would love to hear more about it and tell me your favorite episode. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you respond to that? Versus if I came on into an automation saying, Lori, I like your show. Can you have me on?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Lord, why should I? You're a complete stranger online.
Yep.
But in person, people feel you. I don't know how to describe it. They feel your vibrations and they feel how good a person you are and your energy levels. And there's definitely a different sting to that because you can't get that online.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, video has somewhat changed that, but there's still a different energy when you're in the same room as someone. I mean, you even see, like, if you attend a conference as opposed to watching the conference, you know, on post-conference on YouTube or whatever, it's totally a different experience and energy that's being brought at the end of the day.
Absolutely. It's a total game changer.
It's good. Good. All right. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, I'm 25 now. So let's just say 5 years ago, what would I tell myself, if that helps? Definitely be more patient. Before, I'd always used to, you know, if something didn't go my way, I would get sad or depressed or, oh my goodness, the world is against me. Now I just rely on myself. Whatever happens, it's my fault. And that was a hard reality pill to swallow because literally everything that happens to you is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. It's easy to say, tough to really blame yourself for everything. No matter what's happening in life, why did this happen to me? If you get sick on an airplane, why did you take this airplane? You know, there's always yourself to blame. So I'll definitely look into that. Not blame, like even if something good happens, it's my fault that I put myself in that room that to make that connection that propelled my business.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give yourself credit too. But definitely be more patient. D-Rock, he's Gary Vee's video guy. He told me for about 3 hours one night, we just had a long talk and he hammered the importance of patience. And I was, at the time I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. Patient. I got it. I'll be patient. And I was never really patient. And, you know, just about a year or 2 years ago, I started really realizing the importance of patience. Now, if I get a new prospect that comes, they want to work with me or not, that's fine. But they're coming after me. I'm not coming after them. They don't want to respond to an email. That's their loss, not my loss.
Mm-hmm.
I have this mentality of who else would you go to? You know, if I get called to do a big interview now or go on to speak on a big stage or some big brand needs help with something and they're a huge name, who else would they call? Why wouldn't they call me? You know, now I'm patient. I'm like, why wouldn't they call me? I'm really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I do deserve this. Like, it's good. And that was a big realization too. It's like, you are as good as you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a big pill to swallow too.
Well, it goes back to the mindset to some degree as well.
Right. I mean, these are huge brands. I have one client. He's worked with J-Lo, Mark Anthony. He's partners with Tommy Hilfiger. He's coming to me for advice. And I'm like, okay. Let's do this. I got you.
Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the sixth degree?
I mean, I'm connected to everyone I really want to be. There's no one I really can't get to or haven't gotten to that I want to talk to. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, one of my clients is Peter Boob. He's leading authority for millennials. Is, I don't know, 300,000 followers on Instagram, 25,000 on YouTube, and I don't know how many on Facebook, but he has a following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of my favorite people that I've gotten to connect with. Now he's allowed me to work on his brand, which is great because he has such great content and such great mindset things. And ways to approach business. He taught me the, and this is through a video, not through like a personal call that he had with me. This is through one of the videos that we promoted. If you want to see it, it's called The Big Bear Talk. It's Danny Bear or something like that. It was released maybe in June or July. But he said, you know, back then he's like, who else would they call? Why wouldn't they call me? When I get some big name publication, like, who else would they call? Who else would they call? So then I started using that in my own business and my own mentality. I'm like, okay, when I get a big call now, it's like, oh, of course they called me. And it's not like an ego thing. It's like, you are really good, as good as you think you are. You got to get over yourself, because a lot of people fear failure, but a lot of people don't realize how much fear success brings too. Because now you have big brands relying on you, and you have to, you know, crush it.
Yep. Absolutely.
But he's probably the one. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, we're interviewing him in a couple of weeks. I mean, there's really no one that, yeah, no one.
That's okay. It makes sense that you've got the connections, and there's not anyone that would probably be a challenge.
Right.
It would take a little work maybe, but not necessarily someone that looks untouchable, I would imagine. All right. So as an entrepreneur is constantly learning, I mean, this is a space that as we talked about earlier, that you have to be continually self-educating. What are some books you're reading, or maybe podcasts you're listening to, or anything along those lines to keep you up to speed?
Yeah. The Fourth Agreement is one of my favorite books ever. It's changed the way I think, the way I approach life. Just in general, it's just a great book, and I've recommended it to dozens of people. Tim Grover's book is amazing too. I think it was called, I can see the book cover, but like the name is blurred. I think it's like Unstoppable.
Okay.
Tim Grover was Michael Jordan's coach and the late Phil Jackson's, and he's huge. He's worked on a lot of big names. He takes the people who are already elite and gets them to a new level. I was like, okay. So that was a great book. 6 Months to Six Figures by Peter Boog is also good. And those are kind of the three top books that I would recommend.
Nice. All right. This is the time where I let you ask me a question. So what question do you have for me?
Yeah. What drives you to do a weekly podcast? That takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. I started doing it because of, connecting from networking sake, nurturing my network. But then I found that I get to meet some amazing people and give them an opportunity to share their stories, I think is super fun. And the pipeline is full. There's always someone new to talk to. And that I love it.
Yeah. And I'm sure when you're doing your outreach and you ask people to be on your show, most of the time they say yes, because it's an honor. And then you build that connection, you stay connected with them.
Absolutely. I've had maybe just a small handful of people that declined, and it was more out of their own fear, I would say, than not. But the other thing that kind of happened that I was not anticipating is I'd have a conversation and they say, you know who else you should interview? And then they would just introduce me to someone new. So a lot of the people that are on the show now have actually just been referred to me, as opposed to me doing the outreach saying, hey, you should be on my show.
Got it. Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure you meet a lot of great people.
It's so fun. I love it. And I always learn something new, which is the other personal advantage to me, but obviously all my listeners are getting some really good insights. So, and as long as I continue to hear positive feedback from my listeners and my audience, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. I can see you smiling ear to ear. So.
I do enjoy it a lot. Thanks. Thanks for asking. All right. Any final word or advice offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, just keep getting at it. I mean, there's always that new connection. You're that one connection away from everything you've ever wanted. So just keep getting out there. Keep connecting with people. Never settle. And especially momentum is huge in business. Momentum is huge. It's probably the biggest thing. So once you have momentum, you don't want to stop. You really don't. You keep going. So once you have one connection that you want, kind of like your show, right? You have one guest, and then they refer you to other people, and then they refer you to other people, and you have momentum.
Yep.
Zero intentions of stopping your podcast.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. I love it. All right. So if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Instagram is great. Handle is at Harris_Reis, HARIS_REIS. I'm documenting my journey from going from 500 to 50,000 followers in 365 days. So
cool.
I'll give that away as a case study. But yeah, that's probably the best.
That's great. We will include that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Lots of fun, lots of good insights. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Harris for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.